It's been exceptionally busy lately on Capitol Hill. In the space of less than 2 weeks, the U.S. House of Representatives approved a two-year federal budget, elected a new speaker, passed a $300 billion measure to improve the nation's roads and bridges, and there's more. Rejoining us to talk about those and other issues, we welcome back Michigan's 8th District Republican Congressman Mike Bishop. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Yeah, let's explore your votes on those measures. In a release, you explained your vote for Paul Ryan for Speaker of the House by saying he's committed to implementing real reforms that will help our families and local communities prosper while still maintaining the conservative principles America needs today, unquote. There are key divisions that still exist between the so-called establishment GOP and more conservative Republicans like you. What makes you confident Congressman Ryan is the guy who can succeed where John Boehner failed?
Well, I would say that while there are some that may not be 100% supportive in our conference for Paul Ryan, he got pretty much all of our votes. There were about 8 or 12, I'm not sure how many votes he lost, but he got the lion's share. And I think it's because he's the kind of member of Congress who, first of all, didn't want the job. The job came to him, and members elevated him because of the person that he is. He's a person that represents the values of the people like me, who represent people like you. We think that government should be of the people, by the people, for the people, and he's a kind of guy that will empower members to represent their constituents, and that's important.
He has said he will run a more egalitarian and participatory legislative process. His words, egalitarian, participatory process in the House. You've been there just since the first of the year, but would you say that is important, that needs to change?
It's been a night and day difference, and I believe it's made a tremendous difference in the morale of the members that represent. You don't want to go to Congress and feel like you're just part of the overall momentum of the institution. Members want to have a say. They want to participate in committee. They want to help develop and nurture public policy to represent the people that they represent. And you want to have a part in that. You don't want to just be a part of the crowd that votes on final passage.
Can you say you're glad that John Boehner is gone and that Paul Ryan is now the speaker?
I think John Boehner had his own style about him. First 10 months, it was nice to have somebody who's been there before, who had an idea of how the place ran, and who did it in a way that I think was out of his heart and how he believed. Paul Ryan brings in a whole new refreshing way of doing business, though, and this is the way that I've always been taught good government. So I'm looking forward to the next years with Paul Ryan.
We're talking to Congressman Mike Bishop from Michigan's 8th District. I want to quote a story from the New York Times last week ahead of this next question. The headline kind of says it all. Paul Ryan lands at center of a rivalry for the soul of the GOP. Now, it claims that the more conservative wing of the Republican Party isn't anywhere near as influenced by the business community as it has been in the past. And I'll quote from the story here. Now the term Chamber of Commerce Republican has been turned into a pejorative by hard right conservative activists who rail against crony capitalism and Republican majorities too concerned with taking care of the big guy. Do they have it right?
I think there is a good number of members of the Republican Party in our conference, maybe 20 or 30, that have a hardline view that is consistent with that theory. That said,
are you one of them?
I am not one of them. I don't have that kind of negative outlook on the business community. Chamber of Commerce has it right most of the time, in my opinion, but they are, they do stray off the path, in my opinion. And I am not afraid to take them to task for that. But I believe that our role in this government is to nurture this economy and to ensure that job providers have an environment in which they can grow and prosper and hire people, and we can move this country forward. So I don't have a negative feeling about the business community or the business groups like the Chamber of Commerce.
You were among a majority of House Republicans who voted against the budget that eventually passed. In a statement, you criticized the process as flawed and said there was too little time to study the consequences. What exactly about the process was flawed?
Well, I made my concern early and often. In conference, I was upset about the fact that we didn't get to see the terms of the agreement between the president and our leaders in the Congress. And we didn't get a chance to study and talk about better ways to resolve the country's differences. This was a short-term solution. I was looking for a long-term solution. We have a number of structural issues in this country that we could spend all day talking about that we need to address before we can get this country's financial concerns in check. We've got an $18-plus trillion debt, a huge deficit, and it's going to grow. And if we don't get really serious about this and take bold action, it's going to get worse, and we can't afford to allow it to get worse.
Wouldn't we have risked default if more representatives felt as you feel?
Well, I voted for the short-term CRs for that reason, to get us to the next level so that we can negotiate a bigger piece of the budget. But we got down to the very end, and instead of properly negotiating it and really participating, getting members to participate in the process, we were given a solution and expected to do thumbs up or thumbs down. And to me, it didn't do enough. And I thought if we were able to stop the budget process there, we could have gone back and reevaluated, and we would have had more time to do that. It wasn't a matter of shutting the government down at that point. We still had time to do our jobs. And that's really what I was trying to do, was to preserve that moment in time where we could do what we were sent there to do, which is to get serious about this budget.
Do you like the fact that it's a two-year deal?
I do. I think that's good. I think it brings a lot of real consistency of the process. The business community was just is just fed up with the idea that they have to hold their breath so frequently when this budget issues come up. We need to bring some regularity back to the system and go back to the way it used to be, where we do our business, get it done, and take that threat off the table.
The highway bill was more to your liking. You supported that. What made that sensible legislation?
I can boil this down to really one thing. I believe the federal government has really done a very poor job in administering these federal contracts, driving up the cost, and there are a lot of inefficiencies in the process that to me could be resolved and should be resolved in a more permanent way. In particular, I like the fact that this bill allows the states to take more control of the bidding process and the control of the federal contracts. That'll save federal dollars. It'll also do things more efficiently and allow some of our local businesses to be hired in the process. And I think the states have a better idea as to how to administer these dollars than the federal government does.
Well, and as luck would have it, Michigan has a new road funding proposal that Governor Snyder is expected to sign soon. Have you followed that closely enough to know whether you would have supported this deal?
I have not followed the formula as well as some of the local representatives have, but I do know that this has been an issue that's been on the table for many years, and for them to find a dedicated funding stream is a step in the right direction. They will have to monitor that funding stream to ensure that it's doing what it's supposed to do. And I hope that they have the commitment to go back in future legislatures to look at this to make sure that it's operating the way it's supposed to.
Well, future legislatures play a key role in this whole thing, because it's up to them to determine where in the general fund the $600 million, I think it is going to come from.
And you know, in Michigan, as in other states, the general fund has been depleted so significantly by so many different things, in particular Medicaid, which is one of the biggest draws out of the general fund and any discretionary fund at any state level. Michigan has a $10 billion discretionary fund, and it's just a killer to put that kind of pressure on the state's general fund.
Congressman Mike Bishop is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. You're a supporter of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but Ford Motor Company has publicly criticized it. Has that led you to reconsider your support?
Well, let's just be clear. I was a supporter of the TPA, which is the process for our negotiators to go in to negotiate a deal. The TPP is the actual deal itself. We have not seen the terms of the TPP yet. As soon as it's given to us, we have 60 days to review it as a member of Congress to ensure that it has in it what they promised it would have in it. As far as Ford goes, they made their concerns well known very early in the process. I had many a discussion with the Ford Motor Company folks, and they expressed themselves very clearly. They're concerned about currency manipulation, as we all are. So we did the best we could as a delegation, especially from Michigan, to address that issue. Paul Ryan was very helpful with us in that process, and we were able to add some language, thanks to Candace Miller and some of the other leadership of our senior members in the delegation. I don't think that Ford has been completely satisfied with what we've done, but rest assured, to answer your question, when it comes to Ford Motor Company, going back to the days I served in the state government, when they're concerned, we as a state are obligated to listen, and we'll do whatever we can to address it. Ford is too important to the state, and we want to do whatever we can to address their concerns.
Michigan Democrats last week criticized a couple of your recent votes pretty harshly. You took a vote against prevailing wage requirements in what's called the Davis-Bacon Act. What was this, and why did you vote against it?
Well, the Davis-Bacon Act is, so let's be specific. The Davis-Bacon Act, I did vote for that. It was an amendment that was added to the transportation bill. And it was, Steve King from New York, who offered the amendment because the GAO had long criticized the Department of Labor on this Davis-Bacon Act and the way they implemented the act. It has to do with federal contracts. Only federal contracts. Their responsibility is to set a fair wage. And for years, even the GAO, which is a nonpartisan group, has openly criticized the department for the way they've handled it. They've driven up costs to these federal contracts. They've killed jobs in the process. They've killed the entire projects because these jobs go through the roof, skyrocketing costs.
Prevailing wage needs to go?
It needs to be addressed. And the only way you can do it, the only way you can get the attention of these bureaucrats and these agencies and these departments is to throw a missile, to launch a missile at them and get them to listen. And this is an effort to try to bring them to the table to address the issue. And I should mention that the state of Michigan has prevailing wage laws. This doesn't prohibit them from having their own laws and addressing those issues at a statewide basis. This is just an effort to bring some clarity to the federal law, some sanity back, to ensure that we're not killing jobs. In West Virginia, I saw that there was a statistic that they lost up to 1,500 jobs. It cost 1,500 jobs because of the rising cost. And it hits small businesses the worst because they can't compete on these contracts for long-term contracts. And so my thought is, we got to bring back jobs to the state and to this country, especially in the construction industry, and we got to stop clinging to public policy that doesn't work.
We got to let it go there. We want to thank our guest, 8th District Congressman Mike Bishop. Thank you, sir. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Great to be here.